This morning is August 19th, and it's our Mission Sunday, and we're going to talk about building unity from Romans chapter 14. Third Sunday of the month is set aside on a regular basis for mission, and sometimes we talk about some of the missions that we give to. Next month I have a sermon from Bishop Ramsey that he shared with some of us up at camp, a PowerPoint presentation that he shared. And I'm actually going to try to reproduce his mission message. Last month on this Mission Sunday, I talked to you about discipleship, which if you look on the front of your bulletin, is the mission of our church, is to become and be disciples. But I would propose to you that the vehicle to accomplish that, the oil that keeps that vehicle lubricated and running and fueled, is our unity, our oneness with God and our unity with each other. And as we look at Romans chapter 14, it's really a critical mass for you and I to understand these concepts of building unity and to function in them on a regular basis. Julie got to visit with one of our Christian lifelong friends in another state yesterday, and part of their conversation was their church dividing, their church splitting. And I said, what happened? And she said, well, the pastor just basically had some different ideas and took most of the people and left. And that's not an uncommon theme to those of us who are involved in the Christian community. We hear of church splits all the time, don't we? Divisions. Consistently, the scriptures challenge us not to be divided, but the war that we have with the flesh within and the sin that resides, we have a natural tendency to divide, to get into our own camps and to do diverse things. It's the natural tendency of the flesh to do that. And so when we look at this today, and I want you to seriously consider it for your life personally, that we all would get actively involved in building unity in our lives. So open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 14. And the chapter is a very helpful for us to understand how to live the Christian life in liberty. We have the joys within United Brethren Church to live in liberty. Now our outline, as you look at the outline that I put in your on the back of your bulletin, breaks down into four nice even parts. And each one of the parts has about five verses to it. And as we look at this, there are consistent themes that run through it, and then there are different ones. So, our outline is really simple. And the first blank on your outline is, to build unity, I will accept others. So your first blank is accept others. It's a beginning principle in discipleship. For years, I directed a discipleship center in Rock Falls, Illinois, and as people would come literally from around the world and across the country there for discipleship training, here was the first thing that I would share with them. When you are going to begin to disciple someone, you decide to love them before you ever meet them. Before you ever look at their intake sheet and their needs and the desires and the problems in their lives, before you ever meet them face to face, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a decision to love that person, who they are, where they are, in the name of Jesus. You decide that you love them, you decide you accept them before you ever meet them. And that's the same challenge I would put before you that Paul puts before us in Romans. Start with the ground presence of, I will accept other people in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's what it says in verses 1 through 5. Accept, you can see where I got that word, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. Another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the one who does, for God has accepted him. Verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands and falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day as sacred and more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each man should be fully convinced in his own mind. Each one of you should make up your own mind as to what the scriptures are telling you about specific things. But you come from a foundational structure of acceptance. You start out by accepting other people. Now, accept him who is weak in the faith without passing judgment on disputable matters. So your second one is, I will not judge others. I will not judge others. Judging is one of the big things that sin leads us to do. In the Garden of Eden, when man and woman were uniquely and individually designed before sin entered into their experience of life, they did not know what was good and what was evil. In every event, they dialogued with God to make a decision based on the input and the interaction with a holy and righteous and just God. But after sin entered their life, the good news of eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil is now you know what's right and wrong, and you get to judge what's good and evil. That's sin. So it's a natural tendency of sin within you, we've talked about that for a couple weeks, to want to judge. You want to judge yourself. You want to judge other people. It's just a natural tendency. Yesterday morning I was here mowing the churchyard. And God was gracious. He allowed me to get the churchyard all mowed just before it started pouring down rain. I literally put one lawnmower in the garage, one on the trailer, picked up the wheat whip, was priming it when I heard this sound. And I thought, what is that noise? And I looked to the west, and you could see the rain coming at me. And you could hear it a mile away hitting the tarmac. So I looked at the rain and I looked at the weed eater. And I looked at the rain and I looked at the weed eater. And I put the weed eater on the truck and I run for the overhang. And just got under the overhang before it just poured. And all the way home I was judging myself. Thinking, oh, I should have got up earlier. I should have got if I would have had another 20 minutes, I could have finished the job. And then I wouldn't have, you know. But the natural tendency is for me to judge myself. I should have got that done sooner. I should have done better. I shouldn't have done this. Isn't that natural? Is there anybody that doesn't have that problem? I want to sit next to you. Right? Or maybe it's other people that you see. I had the opportunity to work at the Whiteside County Fair in a fundraiser. Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dots is not rocket science. It doesn't take any mental ability at all. You just dip the dots and pour them in the cup. So you got lots of time to think about stuff and lots of time to just stand around and watch the parade of the cowboys. It was rodeo day and, you know, all the cowboys and the cowgirls are coming by and all the high school kids. And so, you know, you're just sitting there watching people. And the natural tendency when people walk by is to what? Take a look at them and judge them. One of the couples that walked by, this guy had hair longer than Jules, and he was with a female and a younger female, and he has this rock and roll t-shirt on AC/DC, you know, and tattoos on his arm. And when he walked by, I thought, that could be me. I could have still been there, you know. But the idea is based on the mindset of living in that culture for a while, well, he probably this. Well, later on in that evening, he stopped to buy dots for the cute little blonde girl that's 12, 13 with him. And he was one of the most upbeat, positive, pleasant, complimentary guys of the whole day. His diction and etiquette and knowledge and smarts, I was just dipping dots and I was trying to hit the cup because I never would have expected that type of intellect, that type of, right? Why? Because I looked at the way he looked and made a, what? I made a judgment. Stop it, Wilmer. Don't do that. Accept people for the good that God would have in them, not judging by what you see. Now, may God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you the spirit of unity among yourself to follow Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, so that with one heart, mouth, you may glorify God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. This is Romans 15, 5 through 7. So this is a chapter later. Paul is still talking about acceptance. Why? Because it's an important commodity for you and I to understand. Three times in the 4 points that we have, he makes the point, stop judging. Don't judge. Accept people. That's what he says. Now, what is the standards of acceptance? The standard of acceptance is, I will accept the other just as Christ has accepted me. Now, when I was born again, when I was saved, it was purely God's grace that did that. I did not deserve it. I didn't merit it. And he totally and completely accepted me and perfectly justified me and made me righteous at that instant. That is the way that I should interact with others. I should completely accept them by grace, through faith, that God is going to transform their lives. And I should live from that part with them. And the order of that is to bring praise to God. When I accept other people, that brings praise to God. Now, our purpose on the front of our bulletin is to express the life of Jesus by glorifying his Father. And we took that from Romans chapter 15, just 2 verses after the one we hear. The purpose of our church is to glorify God. How do we do that? By accepting others and living in unity. Now, the summary on the bottom of your bulletin is life change. In this one point, this is all you got out of today's whole 4 points in the sermon, is I accept other people and I stop judging, would your life be different? Would that be life change? I think it's going goofy. It probably means the battery has got a problem. I changed that not long ago, but apparently not fast enough. See, need life change, need battery change. Otherwise, the microphone doesn't work right. But life change would be if I did it different. Now, point B on number one is I will not focus on disputable matters. Focus is the key word. Now, the tendency oftentimes in people's life is to focus on what we agree about, right? No. What do you focus on? The one thing that you don't agree on. That's just a natural tendency of the flesh. It's not biblical. It's not godly. But that's a natural tendency of the flesh and sin that resides within us to focus on the things that we don't agree on. So stop. Don't focus on the things that are disputable. Now, oops, that went really fast. There we go. Our opinions are often the disputable matters. There are different opinions, right? I had a conversation with a young man not that long ago, and his thoughts and ideas and opinions were different than my thoughts and ideas and opinions, and his summary is this. Basically, opinions are like butts. Everybody's got one. And sometime during the day, they stink. And I thought, yeah, I guess you got a point there. Sometimes my opinions stink, don't they? But I don't want to look at it that way. You know, there are actually some people that think theirs don't stink. But I followed them into the bathroom, and they do. Right? So, your opinion, it's good to have one. It's good to firmly believe in what you believe in. In your own mind, a man is set completely on what he believes to be true. But you don't need to express that, and you don't need to make everybody else try to have the same opinion that you do. Some people can walk into a store, see an article, that's it, that's what I like, I love it, and buy it. Some other people can wander through stores for years and never have that experience. Well, they're not the same person. They're different. We have different opinions on all kinds of things, and don't focus on disputable things. Now, what are not disputable things? Look back one chapter at Romans chapter 13. And beginning at verse 8, let me read to you. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to have to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, all the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandments there are, we must be summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does not harm its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, committing adultery is not a disputable matter. We had a conversation Wednesday in my home that there is an outrageous outbreak of sexually transmitted diseases in our county, in Whiteside County. Yeah. I think it's gonorrhea this time, isn't it? And we rank right up with Cook County. We're in percentage per capita of infected, immoral people. Whiteside County is right there. When you look at the annual murder rates, the second one is don't murder, in Whiteside County per capita, we're right up there in the top five counties in the state of Illinois. And the part that made my stomach turn, almost made me sick, was the girls telling me that the sexually transmitted diseases within the Christian kids is just as high as in the non-Christian kids. I get sick to my stomach. Literally, physically. These are not disputable matters. Don't have sex with somebody that you're not married to. Wait till you're married and then have sex with them, but don't do it before. And don't do it with anybody else when you're married. Don't plan to murder somebody. Don't plan to steal from people. Don't covet what other people have. Don't get involved in those things. And then when you look over at verse 13, this is one that'll probably catch a couple of us. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and debauchery. Not in divisions and jealousy. Now, the first three of those, probably most church people say, well, I'm okay because I'm not in a drunken orgy. Right? I don't even know what debauchery is, but I'm sure that I don't do that. Right? But how about the last two? God puts divisions and jealousy at the same level of sin as drunken orgy and debauchery. Division within the church is just as ghastly a sin as having an orgy instead of having communion on Sunday morning. No difference. Same thing. Being divided. Being jealous of somebody else. Those are not disputable matters. Those are things that are hard fast that we stand by. There are parts of our culture that think homosexuality is an okay thing. It's not. But we don't have to lecture and clobber people who are like that. We can accept them, not judge them, and love them gracefully into the kingdom. Now, the last point on number one. Our principle is, in the essentials, unity is your blank. In the non-essentials, liberty. In everything, love. So the everything is obviously the most important, right? Is that you decide to love people, and because God loves you, you can accept yourself and walk in His love. Now, in the essential things, we stay in unity. But in everything else, there's liberty. I mean, I brought fresh organic vegetables to church. And those are good for you to eat. The kale on the bottom of that basket is not just for decoration. That is one of the most healthy vegetables that you can eat. And I'm sure when the women pick it up and put it in their bag, they say, well, how do you eat this? Well, it's simple. You cut it into bites and you put it in your mouth. That's how you eat it. You eat it any way you want to. It's just good for you. If you don't cook it, it's better than if you do. So, it's good to eat vegetables. And I grow organic ones because they're good for you. But I had a hot dog and chips at our picnic the other day. I can eat anything I want to. I'm at liberty to eat anything I want. I can go to McDonald's and eat all those trans fats and drink the sugar and the soda. I can do that. I'm free to do that. Now, it's not as healthy for me as eating the vegetables, and I would encourage you to eat more fresh vegetables and more fruit than you do the other stuff. But you can eat anything you want. You're at perfect liberty within our denomination, within our church, to eat anything you want. Now, the essentials in unity are simple for us at the United Brethren. Our confession of faith that was wrote in 1815. We took a little trip. In 1815, we wrote a confession of faith, and it hasn't changed. It's the same thing. These are the core issues of our church. There's the triune God. Jesus Christ is His Son. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and guide. The church is a valuable entity. The Holy Bible and salvation are important. And the Christian ordinances are a part of our church. And I gave you the Christian ordinances here. We believe in the ordinance. Baptism, the remembrance of suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, are to be in use and practiced by all Christian societies. And it is an incumbent on all the children of God to particularly practice them. But the manner in which one always is to left to the judgment and the understanding of the individual. Should people get baptized? Well, yeah. Should people celebrate communion? Well, yeah. Should people be involved in the Christian ordinances? Yeah. But you don't have to do it just this way. You do not have to be baptized in just exactly this fashion in the United Brethren. You should be baptized if you're born again. And you should practice communion. But how you do that, you can do it any way you want to, just as long as you do it. Now, look what else it says. Left to the judge. Oh, also the example of washing feet is left to the judgment of everyone to practice or not to practice. But it's not becoming of any preacher boy or member to traduce any of their brethren whose judgment and understanding of these respects is different from their own view, either in public or private. Whosoever shall make himself guilty in this respect shall be considered a traducer of the brethren and shall be answerable to the same. The bottom line is, you may have a different thought on what baptism is. You may have a different thought on how communion should be practiced. But if your brother is being baptized in a different form, rejoice and be glad in it. If he's taking communion in a different form or fashion, rejoice and be glad. Don't try to convince him to do it just exactly the way you do it. As long as they're doing it from their heart, that's okay. Now, I had to look up the word traduce and traducer because I had no idea what those meant. How many of you knew what traduce and traducer? Traduce is a verb, which is an action, and traducer is a noun, but it basically means to misrepresent willingly the conduct or character or defame or slander. So when you're trying to make somebody else believe just like you believe and convince them and persuade them, that's not good in the United Brethren. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So, point number two on your outline. To build unity, I focus on God. What I will do is I will focus on God rather than the other person. I will focus on God rather than the disputable things. I will look at them with the eyes of a loving Jesus, not with the eyes of a judgmental human. So I'll focus on God. I can be self-focused or I can be Christ-focused. Do you know the difference? If I'm self-focused, I'm looking at me, how I'm doing, whether I'm doing good, whether I'm not doing good, and I'm judging based on what I see. I'm focused on myself. You know, how am I doing in the sermon this morning? I only got two people sleeping, but they'll wake up before snacks. Okay, I'm probably doing okay if only two people are sleeping. That's not too bad, you know. Oh, nobody's sleeping. Okay, I'm doing good, right? Don't you have the natural tendency to do stupid stuff like that all the time? judging yourself. But if we were focused on Jesus Christ and focused on what He could do in our lives, and we were letting Him do that in our lives, and we looked at people in the graceful love that He had, we would be different. Here's one of the things I'm thinking about putting on our mission statement is we worship one, but we love all. Isn't that it? We worship one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's who we worship. We don't worship ourselves. We don't worship the church. We don't worship our doctrine. We don't worship our building. We don't worship our objects that we have in our life. We don't worship our mates or somebody else's mate. We only worship God, period. That's all we worship and praise. And we love everybody, no matter who they are. Point A, all that I do to the Lord. So, what is not incumbent in all? What is excluded? When I use the word all things, what things are not incumbent in there? All the things that I do, whether I'm supposed to do them or not do them, I do them to the Lord. Everything that I do has a direct impact on God. Whatever I do impacts God. There's nothing that I do ever in my existence that does not have an impact on God. Whatever I do it to God. First, right or wrong, good or evil, I either put a grin on His face or grieve Him in everything that I do. There's no middle ground. It's always one or the other. He who regards one day special, does so to the Lord. Who eats meat, eats it to the Lord. Bring on the meat. He who gives thanks to God, he who abstains, does to the Lord and gives thanks to the Lord. It's all to the Lord. No one of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether you live or die, you belong to the Lord. Everything you do belongs to the Lord. Christ died and then rose from the dead to be our Lord, is your blank on point B. Lord. He is the Lord of the living. He is the Lord of the dead. He is the Lord of the sinners. He is the Lord of the saints. He is the Lord of all. Everything we do is unto Him. And if I'm focused on that in my mind, if I walk up to the buffet bar and said, Lord, what would you like to eat? That's different than when I walk up to the buffet bar and say, oh, I want to eat all of that. Isn't it? Everything we do, we could invite God and focus on Him first because He is our Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that He might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. That's why He rose from the dead and conquered sin, as we talked about last week. So, point C, why do you judge? Why do you? Why do you judge, Paul says? You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? He will stand or fall before God's judgment seat. So why do you judge your brother? Why do you judge yourself? Did you notice that in the first point, number one, one of them is judging. In the second point, there's judging. Because it's a problem. If you read verse 15, you come up with judging. If you read 1 Corinthians tonight in the Bible, there's a point that Paul makes. Accept people and stop judging. It's because it's a big problem. C.S. Lewis said, the man who is looking down on others will not see God. To see God, one must look up. When you're looking down on others, oh, look at their life. They're not doing well. They weren't in church tonight. Oh, I wonder what they're doing. You're not involved with God. You're judging somebody else. Stop it. Don't look down on other people. Don't judge them. Here's point three on your outline. To build unity, I will consider others. That's a blank. Consider. In everything I do, I will consider other people. Philippians 2:3 is one of my favorite verses. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but with humility consider others better than yourself. I've used this thousands of times in married couples. I just want you to memorize this one verse. Value your spouse more than you. Humble yourself before your spouse. They're always right. Just go into any discussion. You're right. I see that. I agree with you. You're right. Julie had a conversation with somebody the other day. A new couple got married, and they came from battered marriages. And now the only thing they fight over is who gets to do the dishes and who gets to give more to the other person. See, we could live like that. We could live humbly before God and value other people more than ourselves. Would that be a change in life? Because most of the time, what we value is ourselves more than others. Stop judging. That's the third time in 3 points that he said judging. So stop judging people. You can stop. Jesus did not judge when he was there the first time. He did not judge people. Doesn't matter how many women or how many men this woman lived with. He didn't judge them. Doesn't matter if they caught this girl buck naked in an immoral relationship and drug her into the temple. He didn't judge her. He accepted her for the good that he knew his redemption from sin could bring into that person's life. And we can accept them the same way. Stop it. Stop judging yourself. Talk to God about what's going on with yourself, but don't try to figure it out on your own. B, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Eating and drinking are your blanks. There are lots of Christians that I know who fight over what you can eat. I was at the carnival the other day with some Christians, and there's all this good carny food. None of it's healthy. None of it. But they wouldn't eat pork. Well, I can't have pork. I wouldn't eat pork because the Bible... And anybody who eats pork, there I am with a foot-long corny dog. Anyone who eats pork is not a Christian? It's probably all beef. Underneath of all of that fat wrapped up around the outside of it. And all that, who could taste it after all the ketchup and mustard I put it on anyway, right? But they argue over what you can eat. Stupid. You can eat anything you want to. Some of it's going to kill you faster than others. But you can eat whatever you want. Right, Clarence? Yeah, you get to be 84, you can have whatever you want on your birthday. When I was on that healthy diet, my doctor says, on your birthday, you can eat whatever you want. But all the rest of the year, you have to eat this restricted diet. And that was the worst day of the year because I only had 5 meals in one day. And what 5 things do I want to eat that I never get to eat the rest of the year? It was terrible. You know? But liberty, you can eat whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. You know, Marty and I help people all the time with drugs and alcohol. Marty believes he could never, ever take another drink. Praise God. I can. I can take a drink and not go back on a binge. Now, does that mean we can't get along because he'll never drink again and I can? No, we get along fine. When I'm with Marty, I don't do that. I don't shove it in his face and say, look at me, I can have a glass of wine if I want to. Well, heck no, I wouldn't do that because I value him more important than myself. But I can eat anything I want. I can drink anything I want. I can even drink poison if I wanted to. And kill myself. It'd kill me, but I could do it. I'm free to eat anything I can. I'm at liberty to do that. So are you. So, it's not eating and drinking. What is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy are your three blanks. They even spelled out righteousness for you. When I became a Christian, immediately I was justified. God didn't make me get all cleaned up. He just covered me with a robe of righteousness. He put a robe over my dirty self. Yes, I agree, Lord. It was a monumental event. Caused rejoicing in heaven and speakers to whine here. And I'm at peace with God. And I can be at peace with everybody. I don't have to dispute with any family member. If I value them more than myself, if I accept them, if I'm truly looking at them in Jesus' eyes, I can get along with anybody. Even people who want to beat me up, I can get along with them fine. Go ahead. Isn't this fun? You know? People who want to kill me. Okay. I can be at peace, live in joy with anybody. Now, we are made for Him, for His pleasure. See, here's the important thing. God made us, not for ourselves, not for gross national product this year, not for the consumption of items. He made us for His pleasure, not our pleasure. And if I'm focused on Him, I'm focused on that. I am here for His pleasure. The fourth point, to build unity, I will edify others. Edify. I will edify other people. Now, let's say it's Monday morning, you're on the job site, and at your first break, the boss comes up to you and says one of these two choices. Choice A, you are a retard. Why are you doing that way? Are you mentally retarded? Okay, choice A. Choice B comes up to you, say, Wilmer, you know, if you would do this just a little bit different like that, it would sure make my life easier and the job go better. Right? Which of the two would you enjoy tomorrow morning on the job? A or B? I have worked for people who actually believe A is the proper way to motivate you to improve your quality control. Now, do you think it really does improve my quality control when somebody calls me an effing retard? No. But can I accept them? Yeah. Can I love them? Yeah, because they need Jesus. They need Him. Right? But when you're dealing with other people, edify them. Don't criticize them. Point A, make every effort to do what leads to peace. Every is your blank. Every is like all. Is everything encompassed of everything, or is there something that is not encompassed in everything? And these are the Bible's words, not my words. In everything you do, aim at being at peace. Aim at making peace. Be a peacemaker. Be an ambassador of righteousness, forgiveness, and peace. That's who you are in the world. Every effort you make should be to peace, not to division, not to separateness, not to dissensions, not to jealousy, not to hate, anger, frustration. Those are not the Spirit of God. Those are the spirit of the dark one. So, make every effort in your life to be at peace. That will build unity. What you believe, keep between you and God. What you believe, keep between you and God. If I believe somebody should do something different than what they're doing, should I go straighten them out? A. Or should I pray for them? I pray for them. And when God encourages me to have a chat with them, it's not done in a derogatory, condemning, judgmental way, but it's done in an edifying way. Have you ever considered trying it like this? Have you ever thought at it? You know, I think about things from a weird angle. Have you ever thought of it about like this? I realize that the way I think is kind of weird, but just for the sake of thought, just think about this for a minute. And that's sometimes what they do too. They woo woo woo. But keep it between you and God. You don't have to make everybody believe like you. The last point, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Everything that I say, everything that I do in building relationships with other people, if it's not from the deep convicted faith that God can save me, God can save and redeem them. God can change me into the likeness of His Son. God can change them into the likeness of His Son. Everything that I do, everything that you do, should be from faith. And if it's not from faith, it's sin. So here are our conclusions. I can become a builder of unity. I can do that. Can you? Can you begin to accept people and stop judging them? Can you focus on God more than them and yourself? Can you edify other people? Can you do that rather than criticize them? You could become a unity builder, couldn't you? We could, as a church, become a unity builder. God is calling me to stop judging. Stop it, Wilmer. Stop judging yourself. Stop judging others. Love them for who they are, where they are, and pray for them so that I can take them to the next level, because prayer does change things. Lastly, if I think more about Him and less about me and others, I will be better off. Does that make sense? If you think more about God, consider God. If you love other people and you're focused on righteousness, peace, and joy, do you think that your life would be better off? Of course. Because it's what God calls us to do. Well, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and lead us in a final song, and then we'll go downstairs for snacks.